The action never ends at DraftKings Sportsbook, especially this summer. With tons of ways to bet on all your favorite sports, you can fuel your fandom and feel the heat of the season like never before. Plus, right now, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's right, make your first bet up to $1,000, and if it doesn't win, you'll get another shot to cash in. You can throw down on all the major action for baseball, golf, MMA, and more. Plus, with same-game parlays, spreads, money lines, over-unders, and props, your betting options feel endless. I know July 14th, guys, British Open. Rory McIlroy 9-1. Dustin Johnson 28-1. How about Tiger 40-1? I might throw some money on John Daly. You know, former champ, 1,000-1 odds. Why not go for the long shot? But best of all, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code THPN. Make your first deposit and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code THPN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply.
Want to go, pretty boy?
Two minutes by yourself and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
The only thing better than a glass of beer is tea with Miss McGill.
And welcome to the Fourth Line Voice Podcast. My name is Darren. Thank you very much for tuning in. Episode 222 of the big show, some enforcer-based podcasting coming at you, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. How's everybody doing out there? It's Canada Day long weekend. Of course, July 4th, Independence Day. Hope everybody's having a festive holiday weekend. Sorry for bringing this to you a little late today. We're recording. Normally, I have it out Sunday morning at the top of the hour. But, last night, I was going to record. Got into the beers. Talked to a few folks. And tried to get some folks involved. And nobody stepped up. And, there we go. So I didn't have it. I was going to kind of do this this drunken dial-up show. And to be completely honest, I got sidetracked and it just didn't happen. And then I had to work this morning. So now that I'm back and it is noon, I figured I better get something out. So this is what I'm doing. It's kind of a weird... Kind of a weird weekend. Unfortunately, I had to work all weekend again. And my wife, of course, now has the summer off. So she actually went up to her parents' cabin. And I've been left alone. I've been left alone here for the last 4 days. And I laughed before she left. She left the list. Like I'm a teenager being left alone for the first time. You know, it's like, you know, I did live on my own before we started dating. You know, just, you know. Of course, that she's like, yeah, but do you remember what that house looked like? And it's like, wow, that's true. Touche. But yeah, so, you know, it got me out of, I forgot to, but I laughed. She left the list that I forgot to water the lawn, turn the water on. But fortunately for me, it rained. So, there we go. So, look at that. Well, apparently that's the thing. You leave a list, I still can't follow the list. So, hopeless, I guess. But, what about, folks, what are we going to talk about today? You know what? Some playoff numbers. Basil McRae has been brought up. I'm going to throw a few things out there and see what the listeners have to say. And we'll dive deeper down that rabbit hole at a later date, but I want to talk about that for a sec. And, some upcoming ice wars and some rumors. And, and then a little, once again, a little social media back and forth I had.
that I'd like to talk about, but I'll save that for the end. But like I said, it's not going to be a very long episode today. Just long enough to, you know, round out your commute or however you're listening to this. Maybe you're running on the treadmill. I don't want to keep you on the treadmill for too long, but it'll be just enough to burn off the weekend calories and get a sweat going. That's how long this episode will be. But, well, before we get going, obviously, as I said, I'm a member of the Hockey Podcast Network. There's over 50 shows in the network. All the NHL teams are represented, so whatever team you're a fan of, there's a show for you. Of course, they're you know, with the season over now, I know some of the shows have gone on hiatus until the fall. Other guys are doing the draft, of course, which is, I believe, next week. And, yeah, but check it out. And then, of course, my off-network friend, Alec Oldsalen over there at the 5 for Fighting podcast. And I don't know, he periodically throws out episodes here and there. He's not on a set, he's a free spirit. He's not on a set schedule. He's probably still out there in the parking lot waiting for his lumber. Inside joke. But, yeah, I will say though, he has a tremendous back catalog. Frank Bylois, Rob Ray, Sean Peet, Jason Rushton, on and on. His latest episode was Nico Blashman. He's kind of got the East Coast League cornered, that market cornered. Because Alex started a YouTube channel this year, 5 for Fighting on YouTube. Please go to it, check it out, subscribe. I always say hit the subscribe button. It might not be a big deal to you guys, but as creators, it is a big deal to us. Also, while you're on YouTube, Fourth Line Voice on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. I would appreciate it. I have over 2,500 videos. But Alec has... He put up all of the East Coast League, well, most of the East Coast League fights from this year. And a pretty solid season this year overall. I mean, I rant and rave and bitch about hockey, but, you know, the East Coast League, not bad, not bad. Anthony Collins, Glotz, Neuber, Blatchman, Gagnon. It, you know, pretty solid tilts this year. So wander over and give that a look-see. You'll dig it. And, yeah, and speaking of social media, if you happen to be on there, why? But if you are, Fourth Line Voice on Twitter as well as on Facebook. I'm just going to stick to putting pictures and videos up, apparently, because if I share an opinion, holy shit, it really puts a crack in my tough guy persona, apparently. So I'll get into all that. That's a tease, a preview of the end rant of today's episode. But yes, check it out. But, all right, getting into this. Well, of course, the Colorado Avalanche win the Stanley Cup. And, so I decided to look into some numbers. You know, that high-intensity, aggressive playoff hockey. And there were 89 playoff games this year and 9 fights. So there we go, 89 games. 9 whole fights. So, yeah. Okay. But, one of my favorite accounts on Twitter, Tough Guy Numbers, I have cited his research before on this show, and I really enjoy his page. If you happen to be on Twitter, definitely Tough Guy Numbers, like I said, check out his account. But, he does like kind of, you know, most penalty minutes in the 80s, most, you know, most fights of the 70s, and blah, 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 you know. Most fights by a left winger, you know, with a last name that starts with T, stuff, you know, stuff like that. He does all these kind of funky stats. But, of course, being the playoff times, he threw out some playoff stats. And it's so funny as the years, or the decades, I guess, have gone on, how things have changed. Like I just said, there was 9 fights this year's playoffs. Here we go. Most career fights in the Stanley Cup Finals, and this is data collected from 1968 to present. Kevin McClellan was 7, Wayne Cashman 6, Dwayne Sutter was 6, The Hammer with 5, and Mario Tremblay with 4. The most major penalties in the playoffs in the 80s. Willie Plett with 28, Nyland 27, Secord 24, Dwayne Sutter 23, McClellan 21. Most majors in the 90s, McSorley was 7, Tenorti was 7, Chase was 6, Mike Lawler was 6, Chris King was 6, Odeline was 6, Randy McKay and Bob Rouse with 6. So it was kind of the 80s, man, I'm telling you. Most penalty minutes in a playoff season. Chris Nyland, 1985-86, Montreal, 141. The Hammer, Philadelphia, 73-74 with 139. Jay Miller, 87-88 with 124 penalty minutes. Tiger Williams, 81-82 with Vancouver, 116. And Charlie Bourgeois in St. Louis, 85-86 with 116. Yeah. I don't know. I just kind of, I don't know. Maybe some people don't like those, but I found them interesting. I just like most penalty minutes in a playoff season, 141. I don't think the guy that led the NHL regular season this year had 141. So different times for sure, different times. But yeah, I thought I'd share those. Like I said, I enjoy the Tough Guy Numbers Twitter account. And, it was the playoffs, so I wanted to share those. Speaking of which, friend of the show and tough dude in his own right, Curtis the Cowboy Swanson. Of course, he has been on this show a few times, and most recently was in Ice Wars, and I had him on, and, you know, former LNAH player. And, and overall, just a good dude. Swanny's a great guy. And he actually made his amateur boxing debut last Saturday. Of course, Dean Mayrat, again, another friend of the show. He owns the Titan Boxing Gym in Cold Lake, Alberta. Well, they put on an event in Cold Lake last Saturday that featured 16 amateur fights and 2 professional fights. And they live streamed it on YouTube. I hope people checked it out. I had put the link up on social media. But Curtis stepped into the ring for this guy's fighting everywhere. If it's not Ice Wars, he's in Cold Lake boxing. And I'm telling you, you know, have fists will travel. But, not only doing that, but running Knuckle Buster's Pipe Fitting, his company that he runs up in Alberta. So he's, he's busy as shit, but he still finds time to throw down. So there you go. But, yes, he stepped in the boxing ring and won a split decision. So Swanee is 1-0 in his boxing career. So I went and checked the Titans boxing YouTube channel, and they don't. I'm gonna ask Dean, but they don't have the event up on their channel in their history. So I'm gonna ask him. I watched it on YouTube live, but I was hoping they'd also have the replay on it. So. I'll have to ask them to see if they can get that on there. And I will let you know. But in the meantime, I hope people checked it out. But speaking of Ice Wars, of course, that happened May long weekend in Edmonton. It is happening again. Ice Wars 2, again in Edmonton at the River Cree Casino on August 6th. And, it'll be interesting. I'm not quite sure. Again, it's happening because tickets are on sale and blah, blah, blah. But I don't know in terms of a tournament what they're doing. That's been sort of, not divulged yet. But I know a lot of the guys are coming back and returning. I know Swanson wants to, but he wanted to see how his boxing match went. So I have yet to talk to him about that. But I know if he's healthy, he will certainly be in it again. But I know Daniel Amesbury is coming back and... And I know there's a couple new folks signing up. And it's no secret because they put it on their social media. So everyone, so it's already out there. But Justin Schmidt, who led all of professional hockey this year in fights, I believe he had 21 or 22, playing in the Federal Hockey League. He has signed up. And along with Jordan Roach, who, of course, is the Manitoba Junior Hockey League's all-time penalty minute leader in 99-2000 in Selkirk Steelers. In 43 games, he had 543 minutes of penalties. So, but he also went on and played professionally in the Central League as well as the LNAH. So he is coming out of retirement to give it a kick at the can. And then James Donnie Brooks, a former Federal Hockey League player, has signed up, and he is going in it as well. So, And if you watch some of his, a lot of his fights from the Federal League are on YouTube as well. Pretty good, I'm telling you. So, yeah, those three have announced on their social media that they're in this Ice Wars 2. So, as Justice Smoke, former guest of the show, as well as, he won his Ice Wars event, his fight. He is back in it. Bo Cornell is back in it. So, it'll be interesting to see who is returning and what new people are signing up. So I will keep you abreast of all that sort of thing. And I'm hoping, working out my schedule, but I'm hoping to be back in Edmonton for the event on August 6th and be out there networking and schmoozing and glad-handing and, yes, putting out the fourth line voice. I don't know, the stench? No, I'll be out there and... like I said, I really enjoyed myself last time we went, and it was fun to meet everybody and be a part of it, and yeah, hope to do the same this time. So, I think now in August, you know, with no hockey going on, because of course last time when we went on, of course it's in Edmonton and the Oilers are playing the Flames in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah, not great timing. So. I think after, you know, with the publicity that got on social media and everything else, I think there'll be a few more tickets sold for the second event here. I think it'll be a little busier this time around. So, it should be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. So, hopefully I can get out there. And, for those that aren't coming, I will certainly, I'll probably do some more live stuff on my phone, like maybe talk to some of the guys when the event's on and that type of thing and get a lot more interactive and, you know, I'll kind of really get my Facebook. Because I did upload some of the fights as they were happening and some of just the, I was trying to kind of capture the feel of what was going on around me. You know, I'm trying to get that, kind of that vibe. I wanted to kind of capture that. So I was uploading some of that to Facebook, as the event was going on. I will do that again if I can. I think, like I said, I think this time I will maybe incorporate, like I said, some of the fighters and that type of thing, or some of the personalities that are there. You know, I'll try to do a little more multimedia type things. You know, we'll see. But while not being, I don't know what sort of. I don't know. I'm struggling for the words that I'm trying to say. Well, not being over the top with it. Though I will say the one thing, and I said this when the first event was going on. I would show like maybe 5 or 10 seconds of the fight while it was happening, or you know, and and of course again it was live, so I had people responding to me right away. Well, why don't you put the whole fight up and blah blah blah? Who won? Blah blah blah. And it was like, well, buy the event. It's $20 on Fight TV. Like, really? Like, why does everyone have to just figure out a way to scam something or get something for free? Or, you know, like, can you not support the event with your money? That's how these events happen and will continue to happen, is they need money. They need the support. Like, everyone's always looking to scam and whatever. And I mean, okay, you got your illegal streams for the UFC. Well, you know, and I'm not saying it's right, because that will just make me a hypocrite for what I just said 10 seconds ago. But I mean, at the same time, I'm not trying to excuse it, but really, it's a billion-dollar company. You know, okay, so I mean, I'm a little more lenient on that sense. Where if it's Ice Wars and it's just kind of a little mom and pop, we're starting up thing. Like, the Galantes aren't the UFC, you know, like... So, and again, the plus the pay-per-view isn't $59.99, it's $20. So, I would like to think the people out there, hey, get a couple buddies and a case of beer, $5 a piece, throw it in. I think we can all afford that at this point in our lives, can we not? Like, come on, you know. So, really. So, for anybody out there wondering, am I going to bootleg? I'm a bootlegger, baby! Am I going to bootleg the whole event? I would not do that to AJ. Or, you know, no, I am not going to do that. I will put up a few clips here and there to capture the spirit of the thing. But no, I am not bootlegging the whole thing so you could sit there and watch it on your phone for free. No, pay the $20, Fight TV, give me a break. Let's go. You know, support the event. But anyway, as the weeks come on, it's 5 weeks. As it gets closer and more guys are announced, of course, I will be talking about that. And maybe I'll have some of the guys on, we'll see what happens. But what are the other, rumors, of course, in the UK forum, I have lots of listeners over in the UK. I know the rumors are abound. Nottingham is talking to Garrett Hunt and Matthew Gagnon. I know those are the rumors that have been thrown around and bantied about. I could neither confirm nor deny those rumors. I have no idea. I will say this. Either guy would be great, but if you got Garrett Hunt, I will tell you, he will be the fan favorite in about three shifts. He will be suspended by about the seventh shift for throwing a hit that's too hard. But I have never, and this isn't exaggeration or anything, I have never seen anyone play like Garrett Hunt. He is a 5'7", 180-pound bodybuilder. He is a legit bodybuilder on skates. Plays 1,000 miles an hour. Will take legit runs at everybody. And he plays like a Super Bowl. And I've never seen it. I mean, very reminiscent, yeah, to Andy Bizzo, that type of thing. He's a better player than Bizzo was. I think Bizzo would be the better fighter. But, I don't know. But Garrett Hunt will fight anybody. If you go look at his fight card, he has fought Gillies and he has fought Sawyer and Penner. And, you know, I'm not saying he won these fights, but fearless and will fight them. At this stage, I'm not knocking anybody over in the UK, but I think at this stage, Garrett Hunt will have no problem fighting anybody over there. But in just terms of, I read somewhere online, one of the UK fans was, well, looking at his penalty minute total, Nottingham can have him or something. Like, okay, he's been the captain on almost all the teams he's played on. He is the most penalized player in East Coast Hockey League history. Having said that, he had, multiple double-digit goal seasons. Looking at his stats right, 709 East Coast League games, 247 points, 2,600 penalty minutes, 70 playoff games. He had 25 points in 124 minutes. Am I saying he's going to go over to the UK and, you know, snipe 30 and put up 300 minutes? No. Does he have a clue what the little rubber black frozen thing is rolling around out there? Yes. He is not some goof that doesn't know what's going on. Like I said, he has been a leader on and has worn a letter on every team he's been on. So, you're not getting some clown from some backwoods senior league. So stop with that stupid talk. But there's always got to be one, right? Looking at a penalty minutes, you don't know what you're looking at. You've never seen him play. You couldn't pick him out of a police lineup. But you know everything about Garrett Hunt already by looking at Hockey DB. Okay. So no. Believe me. The UK fans would lose their minds if they saw Garrett Hunt there. So I really hope he signs there. Like I said, I know he's had a couple tough injuries. Played sparingly the last couple years. He's over in the KHL. I know he got 20-game suspension for whatever. I mean, it was, over there. I mean, abuse of officials and stuff. It's online. It was a bunch of nothing. But I'm sure they just kind of wanted him out of the league because he's mean or whatever. But, everybody talks, he's like Link Gates or something. It's like, no. But, like I said, they're all like elite nutrition, health guys and, everything like that. But, Hunt's like kind of next level nutrition guy. He is legitimately a bodybuilder. He is, I'm sure fit, primed, and ready to rock and roll. So, I think it would be a great signing over in the UK. And that would be very interesting. I'd love to see it. And if that doesn't happen, and it's Matthew Gagnon who goes back from the East Coast League back over to the UK. He was over there at one time. And I kind of asked, I said, well, what did he leave for in the first place? And I was told, I don't know how, whatever, but I was told that the original management of the team, the coach was not a big fan. The coach that came in was not a big fan, so Gagnon didn't last very long and went back to the States. I know he is at home now playing in Quebec in the East Coast League in Trois-Rivières. So I don't know. I don't know if he's comfortable at home and just wants to stay in Quebec and kind of play hockey and, you know, be in the area, or if he wants to come back over the pond. Who knows? But again, very tough dude. Very much a throwback to like a 90s, 80s style enforcer. Again, not the player that Hunt is. I'm a big fan of both guys. I would say Gagnon's a better fighter. Hunt's the better player. But either or, imagine. I said if they got both, they'd be the toughest team in hockey. That is the rumors over in the UK. And not that I'm trying to turn this into a TMZ show, but those are the rumors on my feed. And I've been asked by a few folks what's going on. I've been told a few things, so. Anyway, I just wanted to share that. We're just talking. We're friends here, right? So that's what I've heard through the grapevine. And no, I'm not being coy or anything like that. No, I'm not. I don't know if they've signed or whatever, but that's what's happening for now. The next thing I wanted to talk about was Razzle Dazzle Basil McRae. It's been brought up. It got brought up to me a while ago by a listener, Al. I hope you're doing well out there. he has a particular hate on for Basil McRae. Basically, he asked me, do I think Basil McRae is a poser? Because he was like, well, he was a pim hound, and he never fought to win. That was a couple. I didn't go really in-depth with the whole, why do you not like Basil, blah, blah, blah. But those were a few of the points off the top of my head that I can remember him saying to me. And I said, I'd like to do a deep dive into Basil McRae's career. Just give me some time and that type of thing. I went online last night and I looked up some of his fights. I mean, I have assorted DVDs from the 80s and 90s. I mean, I've seen a ton of Basil McRae fights, but I've also seen a ton of other fights in my life. So they all start to sort of run together after a while. So I had to do a refresher. So I went onto YouTube, obviously, boom, 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 Basil McRae, and off I went. I really wish Drop Your Gloves was still around. Oh, that was so much easier. I will get into that in a sec, too. So I looked on hockeyfights.com, at their fight card. How accurate it is, I'm not sure. Because every once in a while, you could go back to the Wayback Machine and bring up old Drop Your Gloves fight cards. Unfortunately, Basil's like, you cannot. So I had to use Hockey Fights. According to their numbers, he had 209 NHL fights. I don't know, Al, I gotta tell you, I don't know. I don't think he was that bad. Now, in saying that, am I putting him in some top 10 or was he a contender for the belt in any season? No. Overall though, I will say, cause, I guess his big run, I mean, when people think of Basil McRae, I mean, I think they obviously, they think of, sorry for the typing and the clicking here, folks. I just want to get his numbers in front of me. I think when people think of Basil McRae, they think of the Minnesota / Dallas Stars. I guess he was always in Minnesota. Was he on Dallas? Or was he? I mean, they have it listed just here as Minnesota on HockeyDB. But regardless, a North Star. Because he had, the 300-minute seasons, 200-minute seasons, blah, blah, blah. 576 NHL games, 2,400 minutes, 209 fights. I can't really, to be honest, I can't shit on Basil McRae. I really can't. you know, from watching his fights, you know, solid fight. He had some very solid fights with Joey Koser, John Kordick. Bruby kind of got the better of him. Ewan, watching them, he could throw with both hands. Not the biggest guy. What are they? Weighs 6'2", 205. You know, had a great fight with Darren Kimball. I'm not seeing it, man. I'm like, you know, like I said, I went down the rabbit hole a little bit. Now again, it's YouTube, so I didn't see all of his fights. If anybody out there, what I would like to, if anybody has a Basil McRae, DVD, could you send it to me? We'll do a download thing or something. I'd really appreciate it because, I'd love to go further into it. You know, and really explore that. Like I said, I didn't spend hours and hours combing YouTube for every Basil fight out there. Like I said, I hit the high points, some of the bigger names. He didn't really take any shit. Like, I'm sure he did over his career. Everybody does. But in the fights that I watched, he didn't really take any shit kickings. Now, one of your points was he didn't fight to win. I'd like to talk to you further about what you mean by that, because I'm not... I don't know, because, like, in terms of that, in my opinion, I mean, I know what you're saying, but I think, for me, for something like that, for me, an example would be, like, Pat Maroon, or something like that. To me, that's fighting not to win. That's just, you know, or a lot of today's guys, they kind of hang on and, you know, throw one, take one, but they kind of, I call it safety fighting. I don't think Basil did that. Not from what I was watching. He would swing wide open with guys like him and Kimball go toe to toe, and McGuire, him and Kevin McGuire. He swings with Koser, and that was with the Red Wings when Joey, you know, had the big rep. And he did it. Now again, did he have knockout power? For lack of a better term, was any enforcer scared of Basil McRae? Well, no, he wasn't. Probably not. But I don't know. He got in there. Yeah, he put up a ton of PIMs. As you brought up, again, with Minnesota being a tag team partner with Chirla, I was, much like yourself, I was always a Chirla guy. I love Shane Chirla. Was awesome. I mean, you talk about excitement. Chirla had that in spades. But I honestly, much like yourself, I was never a Basil guy. I guess I was sort of indifferent on him. I never really, wasn't like I was talking shit about him, but at the same time, it wasn't like, you know, I was putting up posters on my room or anything as a kid, but, you know, eh. But, after watching, like I said, I want to get a DVD that really covers his career, and I can kind of, and then I can give you a much better diagnosis of what I think. But from what I watched last night, again, it was through a few beers deep. But I gotta say, he wasn't bad actually, and he actually did much better than I remember him doing. For some reason in my mind, I had built it up like he was kind of a real catcher, but. Man, he was switching hands and not looking bad. And like I said, pretty solid against Koser. Had a real solid fight with Marty. That was another good one in LA. Again, I get what you're saying. Did he win these fights? No. Did he lose these fights? No. I don't think so. Now, again, he might have, whatever, been outpunched at 19 to 15. But in my world, how I call that, I would just call it a draw. Take a few, give a few, whatever. Did he get beat up? Not in the fights I watched. Did he beat anybody up? Again, not in the fights that I watched. So, Kordick, great fights, great couple series there with Kordick. I don't know, man. I was actually about halfway through. Who was I telling? But I was texting somebody. I was like, God damn. I'm kind of watching some Basil McRae stuff here. It's fairly entertaining, I have to admit. I think I might have been putting off, because like I said, the subject was brought up to me months ago, and I don't know if I was, well, finding time, but it was, at the same time, I think a part of me might have been kind of putting it off, because I was like, oh god, I don't want to sit here and watch an hour of Basil McRae fights, and, you know, fall asleep in my friggin' spaghetti, but, no, it was, I was pleasantly surprised. And like I said, I had seen the fights before, but it, like I said, shit all runs together after a while. I don't remember some fight back on the 92-93 DVD halfway, or VHS tape halfway through from him and Marty fighting in the Forum. It didn't really, you know, stick in my memory bank that well, but, it was fun to go back on YouTube and look up Basil. I'd love to hear what you guys, the listeners, what do you guys have to say? Yeah, I mean, like I said, if anybody out there has a DVD, John, if you're listening, I bet you he has one. I'm going to have him shoot one over to me. Actually, with the amount of, with 200 and some career fights, I imagine it'll probably be a 2 or 3 disc set. I will grab those from him. Go through them, and as a solid investigator, I will do notes and really diagnose and dissect each fight, and I will give a full, although I kind of did already, I will give a full rundown of Basil McRae for a future episode. Yeah, I'm sure everybody's on the edge of their seats, but I don't know, it was fun. Hey, you know, it's the dog days of summer. Let's, you know, how about we take a deep dive into certain guys? I mean, that's the thing. Everybody, oh, Probert or Brown or, you know, whatever. Hey, yeah, okay. Tony Twist. I mean, everyone does that shit. How many people are, you know, we're doing a deep dive into Basil McRae? I'm going to go out on a limb and say I'm the first show to do that. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to doing that. But, yeah, there we go. Yeah, guys, I don't know. This episode, I don't really have much. Like I said, it's the long weekend, so, you know, kind of give me a break here. I've been working all weekend, and, you know, had some beers and talked to a few friends last night that had fun doing that. Dr. Chris, Jay, I appreciate it. Yeah, talked to a few cats. Nick and Tony, I didn't mean to disregard, you're wanting to come on, or answering my tweet. I appreciate it. As I said, I got a little sidetracked and, a little deeper into the beer glass, and I kind of really forgot. I didn't really forget. I was, there was a couple certain individuals I was wanting to talk to. Not that I don't want to talk to you guys, but I was pointing out that, obviously didn't, step up and verbally commit, you know, as well as they do on the keyboard. Anyway. Yeah, so I guess to round it out here, my final thought for the day. I know Tim's already shutting it off because he just found out I have no list, so he's like, you know, I'm out of here. like I said, it's a long weekend. I know people are busy. So, you know, as I said, oh, before, you know, I didn't bring this, or did I bring this up at the start of the show? I don't think I did. The last couple episodes, those are some solid interviews, guys. I really hope you go back and check them out. Last Wednesday, I had Mike Segroy on, and before that, Weapon X, Alex Penner. And I think both guys were tremendous. I know they've been on other shows. I think those were the most in-depth interviews you're going to get from either guy. I take that back. Alec had a really good interview last year with Segroy as well. And Alec's interview was very good. And I'm sure we touched on some of the same things, obviously. But at the same time, we both approach interviews differently. So it would be different. So I think there's a few different stories there. But I thought Mike was a great guest, very well spoken. We talked, he had some great stories. I think we touched on a few things at the end that, I was really happy that we were able to talk about. I really hope to get him back on, you know, maybe later in the summer into the fall. You know, not just talking about his career, but talking about just the fight game in general. Because I think he has a lot, well, clearly he has a lot to offer and opinions on that. And I thought Alex as well, Alex Penner, I know he's done a few shows, but again, I think I'd like to think that was the most in-depth interview you're going to get with him. Again, some funny stories. Had fun talking to him. I really encourage anybody that's listening now, you know, again, 222 episodes, check out the back catalog. You know, Morasty, McIntyre, Joey Tedarenko, Riley Emerson, Josh Mazur, Roman Volpat, Clark Wilm, Jeff Odgers, Wade Brookbank, you know, Jesse Rozanzoff is a really fun interview. Dan Kopeck was a great interview for stories. Dean Mayrad talked about, you know, being on set with Bob Probert, Justin Timberlake, and the Love Guru. That was a lot of fun to listen to. You know, Curtis Swanson. Yeah, guys, like I said, as the dog days of summer are going on and there's no hockey podcast, maybe that's the opportunity to check out back catalogs. And, you know, I'm not trying to sound arrogant or whatever, but I'll put up my back catalog up with anyone's. And I think you guys listening, I think you really enjoy them if you go back and check some of the older stuff out. So I encourage you to do so. Anyway, to get into my final little fucking ramble here, I had put out on Facebook after the Avalanche won the Stanley Cup and they had their parade in Colorado and they were doing the speeches there at the City Hall and Landeskog dropped the F-bomb as seems to be, like I said, it seems to be the cool thing to do these last couple years, apparently. I just said, you know, maybe show some, why don't professional athletes show some professionalism and some class, time and a place. Dropping an F-bomb at a public event isn't savage or cool. I said, it's just ridiculous and childish, was my Facebook post. To which I got a myriad of replies, some of which were, yes, I completely agree. Others were, oh, you're soft, bro. And one guy, soy boy, you know, because somebody put up the clip of Corey Crawford, the Blackhawks, when they won the cup, and he's getting interviewed. Fucking right, Chicago. Like, and I just type back, I'm like, oh, what a hero. Like, okay. Like, again, I don't understand this fucking... we're cool guy swearing on live microphones at public events. I'm like, okay, when did this become the cool thing? And of course, old Mark there, Mr. Blackhawk fanboy, has got to jump in and call me soy boy. So of course I asked him, well, what does that mean? Like what, like I know what it means, but how are you saying it in this? Because I think they should act with a little bit of fucking class. That all of a sudden that makes me soft or whatever. And of course he runs his fucking lips. I said, nothing's more soy boy than talking shit and then running away. When you get called on it, then running away and blocking a person without answering. So Mark, if you're out there listening, you want to talk about soy boys? Yeah, there you go. You know, and dial down the fanboy, you know. And the other one here, old Doug... I don't think you're quite grasping what I mean. I don't have a problem after you've won the cup, you go to, you know, I mean, they all got bloody mansions. Go to some guy's mansion, go to the strip joint, go to the bar, smoke, snort, hump, drink, your face is off. I don't care. That's not what I'm talking about. I would expect that to happen. And that has happened going back since... Probably the Stanley Cup was first won. They were doing that. I know it's been on stages and strip clubs that had shit snorted off of, drank out of, strippers sat in, left on the side of the road, banged up, thrown in pools, all, you know, whatever. Drunken buffoonery reigns supreme. I don't have a problem with that. I do not care about that. What I am saying is when it is a city-sponsored event, when the city of Denver puts on a parade for you, and you're all out there wearing your jerseys representing the Avalanche organization in front of hundreds of thousands of people, and you stand on the steps of City Hall at the podium, that is not the place to start swearing. And I cannot believe I have to clarify this. And I have buffoons replying to me. Yeah, I just don't get it, brother. First of all, I'm not your brother. Second, who cares if someone drops the F-bomb? I think you're being a total hypocrite with no fighting and such. I think maybe you should check your tough guy approach. The fuck does that even mean? Speak English. I was going to reply to you that I do not have the time nor the crayons to explain it to you, Doug. But apparently I found some time and some crayons. So here we are. Listen to what I am saying. As a society, when we now just accept fucking buffoonery and idiocy, and everything is just excused. Stupidity reigns supreme. From our elected officials to fucking TikTok morons to influencers to every bozo on social media. We're a society of fucking morons. And idiotic, moronic behavior is just, you know, encouraged. I said 20 years ago when Joe Sakic stood on those very stairs after they won the cup in the 90s. Did he go, fucking rights? Did Ray Bourque, after all those years, finally winning a cup in Colorado, did he puke all over the goddamn convertible during the parade and then stand there and swear with the cup over his head at the on the steps of City Hall? No. Because they're professionals and they have class. You're representing an organization at a public event. I'm not saying don't have a couple beers on the parade route, woohoo with the fans, jump off the car, have a couple selfies with some super fans. I am not saying to not do that. That is not what I'm talking about. Or if you're over there mixing with the fans and taking selfies and you have a couple beers with them, and you happen to say, oh, fucking rights or what, that's not, and of course everything's on cell phones now. That is not what I am talking about. I am talking about when you're standing at the podium on City Hall in the city of Denver with hundreds of thousands of people staring at you. You don't swear. Have some class. Be an adult. But once again, the buffoonism of society, and I have every fucking idiot replying to me, and they don't understand. Okay, Karen, I can't believe you're outraged. I am not outraged. I'm not writing letters to the NHL or to the Avalanche or tweeting at them or tweeting at Landeskog calling it. I am not outraged. I am simply, as it's my Facebook page, I eat my opinions on things. That is my opinion. Show some class when you're at a public event. But all of a sudden, that makes me soft. Yeah, because having manners and having class is apparently soft. Yeah, it's really hurting my tough guy rep. I didn't realize I had a tough guy rep. Like, what are you talking about? Buffoon. We excuse idiocy. But look what's popular television. That's how you can judge a society. What's popular on TV? Oh, Christ, we got the Kardashians. You know, I don't know, what Jackass, the movies, you know, whatever. You know, idiocy. Like I said, elected officials that talk like fucking inbred morons. And everybody, yeah, that's my guy. You know, idiots. I can't even believe I have to explain this on a podcast, what I meant, or justify what I'm talking about. This is just, what circus, what world am I living in here? That this, I have to explain what I meant. And defend, like, acting decent and adult in public. What are we doing? Oh, well, they're just having fun. That was the other, well, yeah, okay. There's a time and a place. Like, I'm not saying, oh, being before the streetlights come on and let's all drink protein shakes and, you know, go to bed at 8:30. What is that? That's not what I'm talking about at all. Go tear it up. I get it. But time and a place. on the steps of City Hall is not that time or the place. Is that hard to wrap your head around? Like, why? But I said yesterday, my notification just filled up with, like, fucking mental midgets replying to me. And I just love this Johnny Badass attitude on social media. Like, talking shit on a keyboard makes you, or swearing at public events is like, oh yeah, you're the alpha male in the room now, bro. No, you look like a fucking idiot. There's nothing fucking alpha about that. So take your fucking 50-year-old fucking frohawk and sticking your tongue out in every picture and shove up your fucking ass. Get a fucking clue, brother. What the fuck? Now, you know, hey, you know what the irony is? Yeah, this is a public forum. I'm swearing. Yeah, because you know what? When you log in, it says explicit content before you hit play. Should they hang that warning on the fucking podium for the next speech? Explicit content? Earmuffs? Or we could maybe just act like adults. If the city of Saskatoon wants to award me something, I'm not going to get drunk in the afternoon and go stand at City Hall and drop F-bombs. You know, I might drop F-bombs on this platform, but yeah, if I'm standing on the stairs of City Hall in Saskatoon with old Charlie Clark, no, I won't be dropping F-bombs. Why? Because I'm not a fucking moron. I'm a 47-year-old adult. Aren't you? Should be as well. Fuck. Are we serious? Unbelievable. That's what I said. So I just erased it. And I'm like, you know what? You know, here, hold on. I'm going to go dig this up. Yeah, here we are. Yeah, so I erased that. And then I said, tired of reading excuses for idiocy and keyboard tough talk in my notifications. Shame on me for thinking out loud. I'll stick to pictures and videos, as it seems many can't handle anything more than that. To those on here that can socialize like normal, functioning, rational humans, thank you. You know, which unfortunately seems to be becoming few and far between. On these fucking fight groups, the amount of mental midgets in these groups is baffling to me. And apparently, reading. Oh, that was the other one. Go watch soccer, then, bro. What the fuck does that mean? What does that mean? You idiots! Go watch soccer, soy boy. You're soft. You're a hypocrite. What is that? Somebody decipher that for me. Translate it. I don't speak idiot. I'll have to type it into Google Translator or something. You know, idiotese. Like, God. Anyway. Yeah, so maybe that's about it. I will, I guess. Yeah, you have to clarify things. I guess I'm just a giant soy boy over here. Because I don't drop F-bombs at City Hall or at public events. So I guess I'm a pussy. Softer than puppy shit, I guess. Yeah. Take away my man card. Fucking losers. Fuck. Unbelievable. Ugh. Yeah. Whatever. Go watch fucking Roadhouse and get hard, you fucking clowns. You know, you're too badass for this show. Too badass for me. Me and my soy boy. Yeah. Alright. Well, now I'm pissed off. So, I'm done. That's it, folks. I don't even know what this episode was. A few rumors and then yelling at idiots. Although I think most of these episodes turn out to be yelling at idiots, but there's plenty of idiots to yell at. So I guess I'll have content for the rest of my life. Because as a society, we're fucked. We are. And every day that I read Facebook and then read my notifications, I am reminded of how as a society we're fucked. So thank you to the idiots out there for giving me unlimited content. You know, I weep for the few. I look at my nieces and my nephews and I weep for them. That this is the society that they have to fucking grow up with morons like this. They're just dumber by the day. And like I said, the bigger of the buffoon, the hero worship. That's the other thing. The hero worship. And we put these celebrities on pedestals. It's embarrassing. They can just do whatever. Like I said, old Marky there is Blackhawk nerd, and the other one there, your hero worship just blinds you to the embarrassment. God. No, they should be held. Yeah, they are role models, and they should be held to a higher standard because they have a bigger platform, And some do. I'm not saying I'm not paintbrushing every celebrity and every athlete, because that's certainly not fair. But recognize your position, the influence that you have. You might not like it. I know Charles Barkley famously said, "I'm not a role model." Well, unfortunately, whether you like it or not, you are. To some. You shouldn't be. You're right. But you are. And act as such. Know that power that you have. And stop acting like buffoons. I know it's deaf here. I'm sure next year, we gotta be more savage than Landicott. So a bunch of them will say the F-bombs and stuff, because that's cool. And fucking Doug here and Mark and the rest of them will all cheer on and, America! That's my guy! Like a bunch of fucking idiots. And I will be saying the same thing next year. So, happy Canada Day. Happy Independence Day. Oh, what a society. No, to the sane and normal and rational people out there, and there are plenty that I interact with, thank you. I very much appreciate your comments. I enjoy interacting with you. In my personal life, like I said, I had some very good conversations yesterday that I very much enjoyed. Had a fun back and forth today with my brother. So it is possible to have meaningful conversations with sane, rational people. And thank you to Dante, to Danny, William, numerous people. Thank you. And to the idiots that replied, grow up, figure out what I'm talking about. Reading comprehension helps. And dial down the stupid and figure out what I mean. And swearing and talking tough on a keyboard is not alpha male shit. It's just moron. It's just moronic shit. So, anyway. Off we go now. I hope everybody has a very good holiday. And onwards and upwards. I'll talk to you guys on Wednesday. Thanks, everybody.
And you people that don't like fighting, how many of you did you walk out and get a coffee while that was on?